Good afternoon. You are joining We the People Radio with Aaron Ryan.
Oh, and Bill Cundiff, I didn't see you sitting there. Sorry.
Over there playing with your headphones.
And Bob Martin.
Yeah, the fabulous music will come from Bob. And we'll probably have some fun today, goofing around a little bit. It's hot again, just in case you didn't stick your head out the door. We're still having summer.
See? Yeah, late September, and it's sweaty. I don't know what's going on with that. Didn't really even cool off
heinous.
Last night.
You know, I don't know, when we were kids, school started after Labor Day, and you always had to have a coat. You had to have a new coat for school because you were going to need it.
There you go. Climate change.
It was fall.
Global
then.
Warming.
So let's see. All right. Got our page up here. Having a little technical challenge this morning.
Who do we have for guest today? Who's our guest?
We have Orlene Curla trapped on the hold button here.
I knew that. I just wanted to hear you say it.
I should have made you say it. What are we talking about?
We're talking about refugee resettlement today.
Nice.
Yeah.
You actually read the page.
Oh, hey, I'm up on this stuff.
But we're probably going to start off with a little bit of update on Eagle Forum, because Orlene Curla has been serving as the Eagle Forum state president since 2002. And in 2006, when she and her husband, Kurt, discovered their rural property rights were under attack by General Plan 2020. If you haven't read about that, you should. Which is all part of Agenda 21, she started a group called Sonoma County Land Rights Coalition. The group began to battle to become better educated and stop the abusive power of unelected officials on property rights in their county. And Sonoma County is kind of a ground zero for all this stuff. They've got their hands full. So, let's see. Orlene has written several books, and I put links up on the webpage. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. She has By Stealth and Deception. It's the transformation, USA transformation, and it's parallel to the European Union. And that is a weighty book. That is no wrote it overnight and thought we'd throw it up online. It's a big old book full of information and Common Core. She has a really good Common Core book, The Trojan Horse for Education Reform. That's fairly straightforward. We've done a couple shows with her in the past, too. We have one on smart meters and another one on Common Core. I guess we haven't talked to her since 2012. What the heck? So she's been on break from us, but we did link those two shows so you can listen to them. Okay, Orlene, I've now exhausted all my information. Those are all the announcements for the day. And I did put the flyer up, though, for the conference.
Wonderful. I appreciate that. But it's nice to be with you. Can you hear me all right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, loud and clear.
Great. Well, I am in a very hot Sonoma County as well. It's 100 degrees here. Usually we're a little cooler than you, but it is very strange weather.
Yeah, not today.
Now we're all orbiting 2 miles from the sun. And we kind of had you. You weren't as busy as you normally are because you fell out of a pear tree.
I went to church today after being out for 2 weeks, and someone came up to me and said, "Did you ever find a partridge?"
I wasn't going to make any partridge cracks, but it was crying to be said. That's what you get.
Well,
for
it is embarrassing.
Pears.
People are not supposed to be climbing trees at my age.
Well, good for you. I mean, there are a lot of people who probably wish they could have climbed up there and fallen out of your pear tree. So tell people about the conference on October 1st.
Well, this is our 16th annual conference. We always try to have one close to the birthday of when the Constitution was officially ratified, September 17th, 1787. We just had to postpone it 2 weeks because there was a big Eagle Council in St. Louis for Eagle Forum, and it was also a question of when we could get the hotel we wanted. So it's going to be October 1st, this coming Saturday, at the Doubletree Hotel in Sacramento, and we have an amazing lineup of outstanding speakers, and the theme we decided, other than just say celebrating the Constitution, our theme is talking about, is our nation actually sliding into tyranny? And all of the speakers are going to gear their talks around what they see happening as our nation is exactly doing that, and what we can possibly do to stop this sliding. So we have Patrick Wood, our very first speaker. I think you've probably had him on your program, haven't you?
Yeah, Patrick. Oh, yeah. Patrick's mm-hmm. awesome.
He is. And his book about the amazing technocrats, his book is really amazing. And so he's going to be talking about how technocracy is transforming our nation and leads to tyranny. And he's very brilliant. Then we have Sharon Hughes, who is also a radio host, and she broadcasts from KMYC in Yuba City, and she's going to be talking about the threat of the Constitution from Islam with massive refugee resettlement, kind of what we're talking about today as well, jihadist terrorists, and Sharia law. She's had many guests on her show dealing with the Islam threat, so I'm sure she will be very well informed. We then have Dr. David Lehman. He's from Orange County. He's actually our Orange County Eagle Forum leader there. And he has two PhDs in theology, has taught at Purdue University, just a brilliant person. And one of the many things that he debates, he has the opportunity every month to have a debate with atheists. And when I was there, he had me and Debbie Bacigalupi be the duo that debated these other two atheists. It was very interesting.
Yeah, our, I bet that was
our topic was global warming, but he's going to be talking about evolution versus creationism, why a belief in the Creator is necessary to protect our inalienable rights. And so sad, so many of our young people today coming out of our public schools think that they are a product of evolution. So if you don't believe in a God, why would you ever believe that we have inalienable rights that come from God? So therefore our rights must come from God. Where government giveth, government can take away, and that's exactly what they're doing. And then I will be speaking about my book on the California water crisis, Do You Smell a Fish?
Something's fishy, that's for sure.
Something's very fishy.
It is. It's very fishy. And I talk in that book about our fighting for our rights back in 2006, as you mentioned, when we started the Sonoma County Land Rights Coalition, because they were trying to have a 100-foot setback on both sides of the creek that runs through our property and so many other properties. And we discovered part of it was they just wanted to come on and have an excuse to meter and monitor and tax our wells. So that's the one thing we got stopped in the general plan, but everything else, just they slowly snuck through.
And they wanted 100 feet from the edge of the water, or 100 feet from the high water mark? Or
100 feet from your creek bank.
Wow.
And they've got it passed. The only good thing is they have no money to implement all that they got passed. But
right.
If they ever do, it's on the books, and they'll start implementing it, I guess. But we've put up a real hard battle for 2 years. And we did make some progress. We got them to back away from doing anything with our wells. But we've discovered they're exactly doing the same thing now with this California water crisis. Under the excuse of saving fish, they are telling us that if we who live in the rural area will decrease our use of our own well water, because they essentially think all groundwater now belongs to the state after Jerry Brown passed his groundwater act that essentially governs our groundwater now, but they're saying if we will cut back on the use of our well water, miraculously, the water will go back into the creeks that will then send it onto the mm-hmm. Russian River and save the poor little steelhead trout. And
well, yeah, because it just bubbles out of the ground at that point and fills the creeks, right?
It doesn't even fill the creeks. You know, for 6 weeks,
no.
6 months of the year, these creeks are absolutely dry. And every self-respecting fish knows something's happening. They've already gone on to where the water is deeper. And actually, Sonoma County had so much water this past January and in the winter. Our Lake Sonoma and Lake Mendocino were filled to the brim. We actually had a statement that Sonoma County no longer has a drought. But that doesn't seem to bother these people. They go on pretending we have a water crisis, and they will forever. because you can't let a good crisis go to waste.
Of course. And taking people's private property and their, you know, their water rights included, that's...
It's amazing.
It's primary.
If you don't think that's a big deal, go get a measuring tape and measure 100 feet. And then imagine that's how far from the creek they want to control. I mean, that's ludicrous.
You still get to pay property taxes on it, though, don't
you? Oh, yeah.
Yes, we still have to pay property taxes. You just can't use it, can't plant it, can't do anything with it. And they're using, you know, 25 feet was understandable. That gives you enough room to turn your tractor around. 100 feet is ridiculous.
Oh, it is.
That's just flat theft. So we need to take a really quick break, and we're going to come back with Arlene. You are listening to We the People Radio. You can find us online at wethepeopleradio.us. Welcome back. You are rejoining We the People Radio. We're here with Arlene Curla. Okay, Arlene, so who else do you have on the conference this weekend?
Following me is Steve Jackson, and he is a wonderful teacher of the Constitution for 20 years. He's also from Southern California, and he also has a degree at Purdue University. And his topic is Organizing the Powers, Timeless Doctrines of the Constitution. And everyone who have heard him are just really impressed. And then we have Judy Kaler, and she is from the Fountain Valley area, Nevada City, and she's our issue director for the Article 5 Convention. As you probably know, Eagle Forum has a very strong stand against this, and I know it's a hot topic among conservatives, but we think it's a very dangerous idea, and she will tell us why. I've also written a book on that subject, and I've been researching that as well. And so she's been helping not only to defeat it here in California, but so many other states. So we're really happy that she's going to address that subject. And then following her, we have a Common Core panel. And the title of that is How Much Easier Tyranny Is Under Central Controlled Education. And that's exactly what Common Core is. And whenever you have top-down, big brother, central controlled education, then it is much easier to indoctrinate our children, to push whatever indoctrination they want to. And that's exactly what's happening with Common Core. So we have five speakers about that. Angela Weinzinger, she's a actual member of the Travis Unified School Board. It's so exciting to have a school board member who speaks out against this. Susie Kahn is from Orange County. She's running for school board on the Placentia Yorba Linda School Board. And she's a registered nurse, and she speaks on how Common Core is developmentally inappropriate for little children's minds. I will talk about my book, The Hidden Seas of Common Core, and also the international aspect of it. And, you know, some people think that charter schools is the answer, but I let people know that is not really the answer. The charter schools are actually part of the plan because Obama and his administration want to get us away from representative government and most of the charter schools no longer have a school board that is in charge of them. They have an unelected school board, if they even have a school board, and that's the plan. They don't want us to have representative government anymore. So I will give evidences of that. And then Darcy Brandon is also, she's from San Diego. She's a co-director of Californians United Against Common Core, and she's going to be talking about the data collection and violation of privacy of Common Core and where that data is going. Gloria Prine is another co-director of Californians United Against Common Core from Orange County, and she's going to be talking about the social engineering of Common Core and sex ed and how they're just using so much psychological testing on our little children and trying to mold them into the socially acceptable creatures that they want them to be. Then our final speaker is Mary Baker, and she's a graduate of Middlebury College in Vermont, a very liberal university, but she's going to tell us how she became conservative and a real expert on property rights. She's just completed an amazing book called Citizen Ninja, Stand Up to Power, and she's going to tell us how, from her own experiences, how being a cute little citizen ninja, she's been able to stop some of the things going on in her area in San Diego. So her title is There is Hope, How to Become a Citizen Ninja and Stop the Slide to Tyranny.
Nice.
So it sounds like an absolutely wonderful lineup of speakers, don't you think?
Absolutely. And if and you guys always tape the conference, right?
Yes, we do. And then we later they'll go up on our website.
Okay. And I've linked that as well. So
right.
that's hooked up on there. So that's cool. So for people who can make it, these are all contacts worth making. And for those people who haven't really caught up with Common Core, and you know, it's like, oh brother, it's, you know, kind of like Obamacare. I think it's become, it's the law of the land. You know, we just need to roll over and accept it. You might want to get a little more information there. We've done a bunch of shows on it too. You can fan through archives.
Testing, that's what we really encourage people to do, because it's this assessment test at the end of the year that's where they gather the most data on our children, and you have the right to opt out. Your principal and school board probably won't tell you that, but California law tells you do have the right to opt out. And some areas, vast school districts are opting out, so consequently the test isn't going to be very meaningful.
Yeah, exactly. Well, if you'd like to do a little homework ahead of time, we did a whole slew. We did a bunch of shows with Tracy Mann on the testing and the research, and it's not just opinion. I mean, all the facts are there. So I would encourage you to do homework whichever way you can. And the conference will be great. What hotel?
Hotel in Sacramento.
Oops. Say that one more time.
DoubleTree Hotel. The address is 2001 Point West Way. And if you go to our website, you'll see how you can just register at Eventbrite, or you can download the registration and send it in with a check, the old-fashioned way.
Like the olden days.
That's right.
And that is Eagle Forum. Why do I not have that on here?
EagleForumOfCalifornia.org.
There we go. I knew there was a trick. I will get that on the page here. For some reason, that's only on the bottom on the flyer. But you can print out the flyer and the registration and do it that way if you'd like. Got a registration form right on there for you. Cool. And then I guess before we get too far along, we've got a couple of minutes here till the break, but a little heads up on Phyllis Schlafly, the lady who started Eagle Forum.
Our wonderful, fearless, great leader who was 92 years of age, just passed Labor Day, September 5th, and it's very sad. I just never could quite fathom Eagle Forum without her at the helm of it, and who knows what's going to happen to it now. There's kind of a big controversy going on as to who should really be the leader for Eagle Forum, and there are two lawsuits pending about it. So I am not quite sure what is going to be the future, but Eagle Forum of California is still going to go on. And we have an amazing board of directors, and we have our own bylaws, and we will be able to function. And we just we think our state still needs us. So, and by the way, Erin is part of our state board. We were very honored to have her become one of our board members, and we have almost 30 outstanding board members across the state. Of course, Erin is the wittiest and the cutest sense of humor. She's really lively for us.
Yeah, lively.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Lively is really where I shine. funny. Okay, so all that information is there for you, and I'll get the Eagle Forum of California link on there, besides the flyer. When we come back, we're going to talk to Arlene about her latest book, and now that I've clicked on all this other stuff, I can't see it. Tell me the name again, Arlene.
The one about the refugees?
Yes, please.
I'm calling it Islam Rising, Christianity Waning in Europe and the USA.
Yeah, so I think a lot of us are watching that. So Orlean's done a bunch of research. I've linked part of her article on here. And when we come back, that'll be the rest of the focus of the program. You are listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Song. Okay, Arlene, let's get into the nasty underbelly of refugee resettlement.
All right.
What have you been finding? I hate to even ask that, but I'm going to.
Well, I start off my book, of course, and this report that I sent to you, telling about my experience with my husband and two of our children. Last July, we were in Europe for 12 days, and we visited five different countries, but most of our time was in Germany, and we were just appalled at what we saw, and it will probably be our last trip to Germany. It is getting to be such a frightening place. So in the last year, 2015, Chancellor Merkel brought 1.1 million refugees into Germany. 10,000 a day were arriving in Berlin. You know, how can you possibly even comprehend that? And now this year, 800,000 more are coming in, and we've discovered that as soon as they're assigned to their camps, half of them disappear. Like, they already have their marching orders, what mosque they're going to go to or wherever they're being shuffled off to. And 70% of these refugees are young, physically fit, military age male. And then in the 1 week we were there, There were 4 acts of terrorism in Germany, another 2 in France. Just amazing, frightening things, and in one town that we just left. So it could be happening anywhere. You would never know. And this was so outrageous that the German people finally have had enough. There was a 5,000-person march in the streets of Berlin demanding that Merkel stop this. But she's not stopping it. And then the amount of terrorism is not alone going up, but the amount of rape in Cologne that has 12% Muslims. Last New Year's Eve, there were over 1,000 reports of rape coming into the place.
Wow.
In Hamburg, there were over 500. And just poor German women are afraid to go out on their alone in the streets, even during the day. In my book, I write about an incident that took place also in Cologne last February. There were 3 teenage girls, that were standing in the mall like teenage girls like to do, and they probably had on kind of some short skirt or something. Well, to these Muslim boys, that's an invitation for them. They took pictures of the 3 girls. They sent it out to their friends. Within 30 minutes, the 3 girls were surrounded by 30 Muslim males, and they started raping them. They formed this wall around them so no one can see. But one of the shopkeepers reported it to the police. It took the police 2 hours to stop it. They fought the police. They have no respect for law and order, for policemen. And it's just, you know, Germany has always been a very law-abiding, peaceful place, well, as long as I've known it, but it was not that way back in Hitler's time. But,
except for during the unpleasantness.
Right, but it's just not the same place at all. And the people are, it's just, we've never seen it like that before. We visited with some of my husband's relatives, and what is so sad, a lot of the media won't even cover this. The police are told to downplay it. And so some of his relatives were not even aware of what we were aware of. But you find that everywhere. In France, the same thing. The media is not recovering the horrible terrorism going on. And here in the United States as well.
Before it was happening, the immigration process was happening, I was going to ask you, what did the population think about that? Did they support it in the beginning and then realize, oh my gosh, we made a big mistake? Or, I mean, it's just hard for me to believe that they couldn't see this coming before it happened, and yet they went ahead and let it happen. And I'm afraid that's what's going to happen here, is we all
exactly.
We all see
I think
it.
The Germans, like you said, the Germans were kind of thinking they were just doing the nice Christian thing to do, and they really believed that these people were persecuted and were suffering. Well, I think the people who are really persecuted and suffering are the Christians, and they're not allowed to leave these different middle areas of their country. They're still kept there they're being still persecuted, but it's the Muslims that, and when you, in my research, I've discovered this is part of the Muslim religion. To receive salvation, one of the things they're supposed to do is immigrate and help spread the Muslim religion. And what a nice excuse for doing it, pretending that they are seeking asylum. Everyone knows that word asylum. But when you see these people, that's what the Germans begin to find out. They do not look like they're suffering at all. So, like I said, 70% are young, healthy-looking males. And then the people don't appreciate their help. I saw a video where the nice Germans were handing them a bottle of water and sandwiches that they made for them. And the Muslims threw the water back at them, hit them in the heads, threw the sandwiches down, stomped on them. It's because they have been so propagandized to think that the infidel, the Christians and the Jews are their enemy. And they're not assimilating at all. They're not even trying to assimilate. Part of their religion also teaches them that they are to have no one over them except Sharia law. No other law are they to respect. So they don't respect the German police. They don't respect the German laws. we used to would see 10 years ago one Muslim man walking with one wife. Now you see a Muslim man walking with four wives. They know it's against the law in Germany and all these other European countries to have polygamy, but they know that they're above the law and nobody is stopping them.
Well, you talk about assimilation. People wonder why won't they assimilate to our culture? They can't. If they believe in the Quran, which they do, they read it, they believe every word in it, they're not allowed to assimilate. They have to spread their beliefs, and we have to assimilate to their beliefs, or they have the right to kill us. That's the bottom line. It's
that written, is exactly true.
And people and don't
understand
that. And
for them to
that.
Pretend that they're doing anything else, that's all it is. It's a pretense until they gain more population, and then they began to really start showing their true colors and mm-hmm. and doing exactly what they're doing in Germany now.
So what is happening in Germany now? I heard the other day that the people are finally fed up with it, and don't they have some elections coming up where there's a possible change in that policy?
They've already had an election, and Merkel's party has really lost. To say that the German system works where they've got like five parties that help govern, and the one that has the highest votes kind of gets to be the majority party. But Merkel's party has gone down to the third party now. But for some reason, she's still the chancellor, so I don't understand this at all. they need to get rid of her.
Yeah, bad no mistake. Kidding. Very bad mistake.
And are they looking at all at changing the policy?
As long as she's the chancellor, they're not. She's just going forward with this like you can't believe, just like Obama is trying to do here, and Hillary. If Hillary's elected, she said she wants to increase the amount of Muslims coming in by 500%.
Why?
You know,
that makes no sense to me. With the issues they're having with this sudden increase, how can they support that position?
I don't know either. And so the last few chapters of my book is dedicated to what's happening here in the United States, because I think Germany is such a warning for us and France and these other countries. And so I discovered that in the United States we have different charities that are bringing them in. And the number one charity is the Catholic Charities. And they pretend that they're voluntary organizations, but you're not voluntary when you're getting like $170 million a year for what you're doing.
Yeah,
and
no
90%
kidding.
Of that is coming from taxpaying dollars. So they're making, all of these charities are making huge amount of money for the refugees that they're bringing in. In Twin Falls, Idaho, which is just 2 hours away from where I grew up in Idaho, it's a little town of 45,000 population. They're bringing in 5,000 Syrian refugees, and they're doing it through the junior college. Their college has been doing this for like 30 years. And nobody really was aware of it. It was kind of being secretly done. But the college has this arrangement where they get grant money for the amount of poverty that they're able to help in their city. Well, since Twin Falls is a really nice, active farming community, and most of the people are hardworking, they didn't have a lot of poverty, so they had to import it. So that's what the refugee program does for them. It keeps their grant money flowing just fine because they keep bringing in the poverty. But the people are starting to wake up and realize this is unbelievable. I don't know if you heard, but a little six-year-old handicapped little girl was raped by three Muslim boys. Did you hear about that?
No.
Aaron?
No, when was this?
This was about, I think, in the month of June, and a retired nurse, an 86-year-old retired nurse, heard this little girl screaming, and she went to the laundry room where it was taking place, saw one of the boys standing out videoing it with his camera, his cell phone. she went inside, and there was this poor little girl with two boys on top of her, and that already peed all over her. Just most horrible. You can imagine what this has done to this little girl. And so the lady called the police. It took 2 hours for them to show up and to do anything about this. And then the city council and the mayor pretends that it's all been blown out of proportion. They're standing up for these refugees. The little girl is so paranoid, she will not leave her apartment. For 2 months, she's just inside the apartment. She is just so terrified.
Wow. And if you think this...
That will affect her the rest of her life.
And what city was this?
This is Twin Falls, Idaho. Cute little farming town.
Wow. So,
and the reason they're bringing the refugees in there, they built a huge yogurt factory. And that's they wanted cheap labor to work at the yogurt factory, and that's what they brought in to do it. But again, these people are not assimilating. They have no respect for the people bringing them in or for our laws. And then they seem to have such disregard for women, for girls.
Well, that's a historical...
That's
fairly well documented, too. We've got to take a really quick break. Sorry. I was not paying attention to the time. Speaking of people who don't follow rules, I have a hard time with time. We are speaking with Orlene Curlo.
I have a hard time with rules.
I know. I have a hard time with that, too. We're talking about the refugee resettlement program and a little bit more on her trip through Germany when we come back. Listening to We the People Radio. We keep going down the road. Excuse me. We're here with Orlene Curla. We're talking about her upcoming book, Islam Rising, Christian Waning in Europe and the USA. And I know you've been following the issue, Orlene, but did you decide to write the book after your trip to Germany?
I did. I was so shocked by what I saw, and something I haven't yet told you. We were so stunned by seeing all of the beautiful cathedrals and these historic churches that are now closed. No one is going to church, and so the churches are having to be sold. You know, some of them are being sold for concert halls or museums, but you can only have maybe one concert hall per city and one museum. So the vast majority of them are being sold for mosques.
Oh, my gosh.
It is so ironic, you know, during the Crusades, and my husband did find out that one of his ancestors was a Knight Templar that fought in the Crusades. Here they were fighting the Crusades to stop the pillaging and plundering of their Christian churches and stop the Muslims from coming into Europe, and now they're welcoming them and selling them their churches because that's the only one who wants to buy them.
And paying for all of it. I mean, you look at people who want to come into this country, for instance, and want legal entry into the country, and they can wait for decades. And these guys are all on the fast track.
That's right.
But it appears that the motivation to come in is to tear the country apart, not come on in and find a better life and make it better.
Yeah, and if you think it's bad now, or you think that a lot of this stuff we're hearing about in the news isn't going to touch you, you know, they still plan on bringing in over 100,000 more between now and, I think, when Obama leaves office, which, you know, you do the math, that's, you know, 2,000 per state.
Well, the bad part
we're
is...
We're just setting ourselves up for huge problems if we continue
down
this road.
And the amount of terrorism that is already happening.
Oh, yeah. And I forget where I was reading it, but they were... I looked at them. I think I Googled immigration or Muslim immigration. And one of the city... The city in California, I think, that has the most immigrants right now is Sacramento.
Yes,
which kind of
one of the highest. It's Los Angeles area, Sacramento. But a lot of the cities, we're not even being told. You know, some of it is done very sneakily. I found out that there was a group that was supposed to come to Santa Rosa, and so I called up Catholic Charities because they were the ones supposedly bringing them, and I said, now, when are these refugees arriving, and where will they be housed? And I was told, well, they changed their mind. Our refugees were sent to Santa Clara, and it was because Sonoma County already has such a high number of homeless people, which is true. And then I was also told they try to pick an area that is more closely aligned to where the refugees are coming from. So if it's they're coming from an agricultural area, they will... I don't think Santa Clara is necessarily agricultural, but anyway.
No, I think Death Valley would be a good place. I mean, that's very similar to their climate.
That would be more similar to where they're coming
from.
Might know
how to handle it. Yeah, they'd feel right at home.
But anyway, I did find out that they supposedly have this all logged, and you can. So I went to the government website to see where they're all being sent, and they tell you where they've been sent over the years, and it is true that Sacramento's had a huge number, and Los Angeles area, San Diego as well. But then you don't really know how many are coming here secretly.
Yeah.
They're not being told.
That's
a
big
whole
problem right there.
Another consideration.
Hey, we're top of the hour.
I know. We're going to come back. We're going to chat with Arlene some more, so you have 5 minutes to stay out of your pear tree and...
Nice.
I will stay out of my pear tree.
I was going to say, do whatever
you
want.
Even look at it.
Do whatever you want, but not that. Don't do that.
All right.
We'll be back with Arlene Curley. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Good afternoon. You are joining the second hour of We the People Radio. I'm Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Kundiff.
And I'm Bob Martin.
And we've got Orlene Curla trapped on. Is she on hold or is she back in? She's back on with us.
I'm here.
Orlene has never met a topic she didn't need to turn into a book. That's your...
It kind of is the truth, isn't it?
It's totally the truth. You know, the rest of us, we learn things and we go, ooh, that's really interesting. And then we move on. And you're like, you were like born with a shovel in your hand. You just start digging. It's probably good. That keeps you on the ground and out of the trees. She recently fell out of a pear tree and hurt her shoulder. So, you know, giving her kind of a hard time here. But it did make her available. You know, her activities are cut short. So when I chatted
That's
with her the
true.
Other day, it's like, I know what you're doing. You're just sitting around waiting for us to call you. Her new book that will be coming out, and the variety is really cool, too. That's the thing. You know, some people write all their books about the same stuff. You know, they get hooked on a topic, and it's all the same stuff. But yours are wide and varied, actually. If you go, Orlene, what's the best way to get your books? I had a little puzzle with that.
Well, I've started my own publishing company. It's called booksfortruth.com.
Uh-huh.
And all of the books are listed there, as well as a little blurb about them. Sometimes there's a little video clip where I'm being interviewed or speaking on the subject. So www.booksfortruth.com.
Nice. I will link that because you had the Small Helm Publishing.
And I changed that name.
Well, no problem, but the bad part was I didn't get the update, so I was a little bit stuck. But, yeah, see, you've got California Water Crisis and by Stealth and Deception and Smart Meters.
Just a note, a Big Brother Smart Meter.
Yep, and then Smart Meters and the Dangers of the Article 5 Constitutional Convention. I didn't realize you had a thing on that. I should have known. Common Core. And you have a couple on Common Core. And the Common Core book is really, really good. And by Stealth and Deception is awesome, too.
Thank you. I also even wrote a little play that talks about the true story of Thanksgiving. And that's kind of a fun thing for people to have. It's just, it would take maybe a half an hour for a family to read through it and play these little parts. And it just tells the great lessons we're to learn from our original pilgrim fathers, because they first practiced socialism, and it absolutely did not work. And most of our American history books have left that out. So I put it in a play version.
Well, that's kind of interesting. I didn't realize that. So yeah. Everywhere we try it, it just doesn't work. There's a common theme there.
That's right.
So when you and your family were visiting relatives and things in Germany, how long did it take before the refugee resettlement topic came up?
Maybe 5 minutes.
Yeah, I'll bet it was in your face. Yeah.
Now, were you kind of digging into it before that, or did you go there and were just kind of blown away by
I knew we had heard that there was 1.1 million that had come into Germany, and we were wondering if we would see any big changes. But we were blown away, especially in Berlin. When we first arrived in Berlin, they have a memorial set up to remind people of the Holocaust, and it's 4 acres of strange-looking tombs. I've never seen anything like it in my life, but these tombs, some are lined straight down, rectangular, some are standing up. It's kind of done in an artistic, interesting way, but, you know, 4 acres of it, and they're all kind of grayish. And anyway, we were just there taking pictures and looking at them, and we saw a group of about 15 teenage Muslim boys come. They were standing on them, sitting on them, taking pictures of each other, all with their thumbs up. Like,
wow.
Isn't it wonderful that all these millions of Jewish people were killed in the Holocaust? And that was our first shocking experience. And then we saw all of these Muslim men walking with their wives, proudly showing them off, and we'd never seen that before. And then we started hearing about
because they had multiple wives. It wasn't that they were... A guy was there with his wife. I mean, there were bunches of wives, right?
Yes, all in their burqas and following behind him, some, you know, with their baby carriages. But we've never seen that before. Before, if I think they've always had multiple wives, but they'd keep them hidden because it was against, you're supposed to be put in prison for 7 years for polygamy in Germany.
Oh.
But, of course, no one does anything. These people are above the law, and they know that, and they seem to get away with whatever they want to get away with.
So the Muslim population in Germany is very prevalent. I mean, it's in public, and it's not hard to spot.
That's right. And by the year 2020, just 4 years away, it is predicted there will be 25% of the Muslim population, of the German population.
Mm-mm. And
so that is a huge number. And once they start reaching that number, they start taking over government. And
oh, sure.
Then pretty soon they can bring in Sharia law, exactly what they want.
Well, look what's happened in England. I mean, it's the same thing. They're being overrun.
They are. And in my research, I discovered that the Islam religion now is the primary religion in England. The amount of people attending the Muslim mosques far outnumber those who are attending any kind of a Christian church now in England.
Oh, yeah, and they have Muslims in their parliament. I mean, it's happening, and it's happening right in front of them. And
yes, the mayor of London is a Muslim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's. I think they're starting to realize the mistake they made with the multiculturalism move, and I just wonder how big a role that played in the whole Brexit vote, that people looked around and said, we are not our
We've
own country
lost
anymore.
Our country. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it did play a big role because it is the European Union that is greatly pushing the Muslim refugee program coming in, along with the United Nations. So I think it probably did play a role. I just recently found out that in Australia, the Prime Minister has just made an edict telling the Muslims, if you are coming into our country, you are going to assimilate. You're not expecting us to assimilate to your laws, and really strong language. So I thought, well, that's nice. Maybe that'll catch on with some of the other Commonwealth nations, maybe Canada, and I wish the United States would learn from that.
Yeah,
we're going to have a different president for that to happen.
Yeah, we'd probably have to switch teams there, and do some big changes. What else did you see in Germany that was just wildly different? Because you go every year to visit family, or every other?
It's been just about every year. We were there last year as well, and what a contrast between last year and now. And then just the apathy about religion we'd never really noticed before. Kurt's family, his cousin used to be the secretary for the Lutheran pastor. Well, that church is now closed down, and she doesn't seem to be the least bit upset by it. It's just kind of what's happening with the trending times. I served a mission for our church when I was just in my early 20s, 1966 to 68. I was in Amsterdam and three other cities in Holland, and to find out what's happened there, 55% of the Dutch now say that they are atheists, and their churches, there's a church in Arnhem where I was called the St. Joseph's Church that is now a skateboard park. And in the city of Amsterdam, it's called the Oude Kerk, the oldest church that was built in Holland, built back in 1309. It is now a brothel.
Oh, that's taken an ugly twist.
It sure is. It's in the middle of the red light area, and that's all they could find a buyer for that one. How sad that is. The Neue Kerk, which means new church, is a museum. And all the other churches are now mosques.
Wow.
So it is really scary.
And so are so in Germany, when you were talking to relatives and their friends and people while you were there, are people, German people, joining the mosques, or are the mosques being populated by people from foreign countries who are coming there as refugees?
I think some of the young people are being converted because they have nothing else in their lives.
Sure.
And, you know, I think everyone needs something to believe in, and they're growing up in atheistic homes, or at least homes that have no religion, and a lot of them are being converted. But the older people, it's just kind of a state of apathy. Kurt's cousins included, they're very brilliant. He has several cousins who are medical doctors and attorneys and very, very brilliant people, but they don't seem to think religion is important in their lives. And I'm so sorry, it seems to be the trend among millennials all over, here in the United States as well.
And every vacuum gets filled by something.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, it's interesting that they don't believe in religion, and yet many of them are converting to Islam, which they claim is a religion, but it's mostly an ideology.
It is an ideology, and really it's a pagan ideology.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, if you really want to get down to the nuts and bolts of it, we'll do a little sneak preview into a guest that we're going to have on here not too long you know, in not too long. His name is Frank Burley, and he has written a book called It's All About Muhammad. And
you were telling me about that. It sounded fascinating.
That'll.
Oh, it's a read. It's a big book, but
it's a fast read. Bill blew through that.
If you want to know Muhammad believed and what's really in the Quran and how it got there and why it got there, read that book, and I think you'll understand why Islam can never be integrated into our society ever. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, if you're still harboring under the delusion that it's just a religion like everything else. It's like being a Methodist or a Catholic or whatever.
They're trying to say that we worship the same God, but that is not true at all.
Well, it was written that way. It was written as originally to bring in the Christians and bring in the Jews, but not shortly thereafter, they realize, hey, this is really going south in a hurry. This isn't what we believe, and there's no way on this earth we'll ever believe this. And that's when it took a turn, and now everybody else is pretty much mortal enemies of Islam. And you'll either be Islam or you'll die. And they say, oh, well, you can pay the tax and live side by side. No. Because when they're tired of your tax, then they'll just kill you. I mean, bottom line is you cannot coexist with Islam.
I've linked that on the We Recommend page. I think I'm going to put up an Islam tab on our website. We've done enough shows on this, and there's enough information. So we'll link your book and Frank's book and all that. I think the only thing that's going to save us is people being really clear-eyed about how this works and what it turns into. But everybody thinking, oh, you know, hey, it's not that big. It won't happen here, right? Oh, geez, how many times have we heard that about different things?
It's happening here.
We need to probably take a...
Very quickly. I'm just appalled at and the amount of mosques that are just popping up all over.
Oh, yeah. You know, and it's like, oh, it's just like our religion, only different, and we should all work together. It's like, you should probably do more homework. So I think Orlean's book and Frank's book, and geez, we did five shows with Peter Friedman. So if you're not a big reader, listen to some of the archive programs and send them to your friends and other people who think that this is all going to be fabulous, because it isn't. We'll be right back. We are overdue here for a little break. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Song for this topic. Please don't tell them all the truth. Actually, Orlean, I think your book website is perfect then. Booksfortruth.com. This is something that I know is kind of being covered in the media a little bit, the refugee resettlement, but depending on where you live, it's very, very skewed. What's the press in Germany when you guys were there? Any coverage or no?
Well, it took me really digging deep to find some articles that were coming out of the German press. So for the most part, they're still trying to pass this off as minor incidences, but the German people themselves are finding the truth. And I think part of it was also not only were these four horrible, grievous crimes happening, acts of terrorism in one week in Germany, but also at the same time in France, And I did want to mention there's a cardinal, Cardinal Vantois, who is the cardinal of Paris, and he presided at the mass of this cute little 86-year-old priest who had his throat cut. Do you remember hearing that?
Yes. Oh, yeah, right on the altar.
Yes, he was forced to kneel at his own altar and had his throat slit. And so this Cardinal Vantois, in his message when he spoke at the memorial service, said that these jihadists wrap themselves in the trappings of religion while announcing and worshiping a god of death. And he compared the Islam religion to the ancient pagan religion of that were worshiping Molech, who was this god, also a god of death. It, the people, the believers, thought they had to offer human sacrifices to him as a tribute, otherwise their lands would not be blessed. So they were giving their little children as human sacrifices. And he's saying, as French bishop is saying the same thing about Allah. Here they think that the only way they're going to gain salvation with their strange God is by killing the infidel and killing the Jewish people or killing themselves with a suicide bomb. And I thought that was really a very good comparison.
Well, I think it's interesting that they believe that to die a martyr is the best way and easiest way to get to heaven. And yet so many of the terrorists today fall just short of being a martyr. They kill people and perform
some
all these acts.
Some of them are getting captured. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't quite have the stomach to actually go the full measure. So, I don't know. It's the whole thing is really messed up.
It really is. And I'm looking forward to reading that book that you spoke about to find out where all these messed up ideas really come from.
It was, as Bill was telling me as he was reading, it's like, uh-oh. It's like reading a book about Jesus, but it's all backwards.
It is. It's really funny because as he was creating the Quran, situations would come up that needed clarification. So he would magically go into a trance and come up with the answer direct from God. And this is where pretty much all of the verses in the Quran came from Muhammad in these supposed trances, and they just magically solved the issue at hand. So every problem they had, they'd go to him, and he'd get it right from God, and once he said it, that was it. There was no going back on it, so it was absolute. And there is an answer for pretty much every situation out there. It's in the Quran, and it's pretty specific how you deal with pretty much every situation. It's in there, and it's very violent, very bloody, and there's no question about your belief. You either believe or you don't believe, and if you don't believe, then they have the right to kill you.
And Aaron told me that he really was having a lot of epileptic fits. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. He was a total epileptic, and back in those days, they called it the falling disease. And prior to Muhammad, if you had that, you were possessed by a demon, and most often you were either exiled from the tribe or killed. But in his case, when he'd fall into these epileptic seizures, he'd wake up screaming these verses that he was actually speaking direct to God, and people started buying into it. And what they think is that a lot of these verses that he would magically come up with after having an epileptic seizure were verses that he had written and pretty well thought out prior, because he knew he was going to have another one. And it was just...
So it kind of percolated on the idea?
Because some of them were very... very long verses and very complex, and to come out of an epileptic seizure with these complex thoughts was pretty unlikely. So he would have the answers to the problem direct from God, and people started buying into it, and it soon turned into pretty much fear. they knew that if they didn't go by what he said, terrible things would happen to them or their family, you know, or their even their distant relatives.
Yeah, so for all the people that think that it's just some people now that are extremists that are taking things the wrong way.
Oh, no,
it started that way.
It started that way as a religion of terror. And the more people that it affected, the more people – and it just kind of cascaded. And even then, they believed that it was terror that convinced people to join this because they didn't want to die, and they knew they would. So
it's still a religion of terror, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. As you're reading it, you're thinking, my gosh, that's exactly what's happening now. I mean, this is almost verbatim what you're seeing happening today is happening all over again. So, I highly recommend it. It's a real eye-opener.
The sad thing is we do not seem to have learned from history, do we?
No.
Well, we ignore it because it seems unpleasant. You know, well, who would do that? I mean, it's kind of like my mom, you know, when I would tell her about things that I was learning, you know, especially when it comes to the global warming and all that stuff. And my mom's like, well, honey, why would people want to do that? Why would they want to control everyone? Why would they want to force people to move into the city? It's like, I don't know, Mom.
We just don't think that way, do we?
It just seems illogical. So, you know, you have a lot of people who just go, unpleasantness probably not coming my way.
That's true. People just kind of ignore what they think is unpleasant.
The bad part is it is coming our way. And once these folks are in our country, so tell me this, once they've been brought here, okay, and I did hear the story about the 800 and some odd people who were given citizenship who should have been deported. So, okay, that being said, the refugees that come here, regardless of where they started, if they come here and they're, you know, bad guys and they commit crimes and stuff, do we get to get rid of them? Or when they come here as refugees, are they automatically, they get to stay for a period of time? Is it a period of time or is it forever? Or what happens?
Well, I know the three boys that committed this terrible atrocity, raping a little six-year-old girl in Twin Falls, Idaho. Two of the families were forced to leave the apartment complex where they lived. The other family, because that little boy was only seven, they forgave him. But he lives right next to where the little girl lives, and she's still terrified and petrified and won't go out of her apartment. So I don't think they're deported. Maybe they're just moved to a different apartment complex or a different area. It's very tragic. You'd think they would be deported. The one that committed a horrible act in Germany was supposed to be deported. He committed, he strapped himself with explosives and blew himself up in front of a concert hall because they wouldn't let him enter because he was on the terrorist watch list. So I thought, well, I'll just do my dastardly deed out here in front of the concert hall then. But he was supposed to have been deported. Never happened in Germany.
Wow. And so where do the Germans think it's going? Are they just hoping it doesn't affect them? Or
I think there's a real apathy for the most part. Only one of Kurt's relatives even seemed to know anything about it. The others were just apathetic.
God, how can you be apathetic about something like that?
I know. When we presented to them the information we had, it was like they'd never heard it before. So either the German news is not reporting it, or maybe they're just not paying attention. There was only one person in the church we attended to. The church my husband grew up in, some old friends, he knew what was going on. Nobody else did. So I think there's just a spirit of apathy in Germany, just like it is here. People are just uninformed. The news is not really giving them the true story. The media is told to kind of go hush-hush on this.
Wow.
It just gets worse.
What are they seeing in the schools?
Well, in the schools, they are teaching multiculturalism, just like they are here, that we must accept all cultures, that no one culture is any better than any other, and that's why our whole American history is being watered down and made to be not very wonderful at all. A great bastion of freedoms this nation is no longer being really truly portrayed to the children in our schools, and that's all under the title of multiculturalism. In my book, I write about what's going on in Sweden. Sweden now has only 27% of Christians. The rest are either atheists or Muslims. And they now have conclaves of Sharia law that no police would ever dare set foot in. They've just, their whole nation is just almost totally taken over by Muslims now. There was one Christian church still standing. The lady that runs it is a lesbian, and she decided that to make her church more hospitable to the Muslims, she took down anything that resembled a cross. So the crosses are all down. And then she put arrows in the church, all pointing to the east towards Mecca, so they will feel more at home.
I think
she should just sell it to them for a mosque.
just roll over and call it done. It's painful to watch it one paper cut at a time.
That's right. It's just amazing.
It's interesting. In that book, it's all about Muhammad. They explained, what the big thing is with Mecca.
Well, they
goes through the whole history of that.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that the Muslims face Mecca now. Well, in the beginning, they faced Jerusalem, and according to Muhammad, you had to face Jerusalem because they're all from the God of Abraham. But then when the Jews decided, hey, this guy's a total fruitcake and crazy, we're not going to join him, we're not going to follow him, he got another message from God that said, okay, guys, we're now going to turn our backs on Jerusalem and face Mecca because the Jews are not going to join us, so we no longer have to respect any of their laws. But the funny thing is they still believe they are descendants of the God of Abraham. They couldn't take that part back, but they do face Mecca now. So,
and they still have their mosque as part of the Temple Mount in Jerusalem.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. So it's a lot of cases were for convenience at the time, and.
Because he thought he was going to get everybody to join.
Oh, yeah, everybody was going to join.
Everybody was going to throw over their own plan and come and join him.
Yep.
Amazing how it's all about the leadership, you know? It always goes back to that. And if you have somebody who's, you know, slick enough and clever enough, I don't know, super spooky. We need to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're chatting about refugee resettlement. Obviously, we're not big fans. So, of course, there are some people who are actually fleeing violence, and we feel bad for those people, but it's become a Trojan horse again. We'll be back with Orlean in a couple minutes.
It's bigger. Allahu Akbar, I told him don't curse me. Oh boy, you need prayer, I guess it couldn't hurt me. If it brings me to my knees, it's a bad religion. Ooh, the sun cried in love.
What was that? Do tell.
It's something relatively new, Bad Religion by Frank Ocean.
Oh, well.
Another, there you go.
Another good song we'll be using again. Maybe you need music on your website for your books, Arlene.
Yes, I appreciate finding out about all this.
We'll put little songs on there. Oh, man. So in writing this, is it, I would imagine it's just a matter of deciding what not to include.
Every day I find something more that I think, oh, well, I've got to include this. It's just amazing. I also wanted to let you know that in Hamburg, some Sharia police are showing up, and these are men dressed with a kind of a green, fluorescent green colored jacket, and on the back is written in Arab Sharia police. And they also have a car that has Sharia police written on it.
Who pays for that?
I don't know. And they're showing up in the UK as well, in Sweden. And supposedly their role is to find those Muslims who are not living as they're supposed to. They're now drinking alcohol, they're gambling, they're watching pornography or using prostitutes, and they will gather them up and haul them away in their police car. So they've taken it upon themselves to enforce Sharia law, even though Sharia law doesn't really exist, but it's very interesting, isn't it?
Well, if you get Netflix, there, I watched a program the other day. It was on Saudi Arabia, and it was filmed by hidden camera. Saudi Arabia is one of the most locked down countries on the planet, where very little information gets out about what happens in Saudi Arabia. And the gist of the program was they are a very closed society. The Sharia, they also have what they call religious police. They're men that are dressed in white robes that walk the malls, that walk the streets. If they see anything that is against Muslim law, you're warned, and it depends. If you're a woman, you're usually beaten on the spot by these police. If you're a man, you're warned. Like, you can't play music. Music is outlawed. Of course, drugs and alcohol are outlawed. There's a strict dress code for women. There's many, many things that they're looking for. And if you're a violator, you're warned. And then if you continue your bad behavior, you're picked up, just like what you said. You're picked up. You're taken to a jail. And depending on what your crime is, you could be executed. And they have a place there. I forget what they call it, but it's like a big public mall area. And this is where they take you out in the middle of this mall and they behead you. And there's not really a trial. You don't really get a trial. I mean, if somebody saw what you did and there were witnesses to what you did, then you're guilty. And they'll take you out and they'll either behead you, cut your hands off, public whippings. But all of this goes on in Saudi Arabia today under the veil of secrecy, because when you fly into Saudi Arabia, you're not allowed a camera. You have to be very careful with your cell phones, where you take your cell phones out. But if you're caught filming or anything like that, you're in serious trouble. So,
wow.
I mean, I definitely wouldn't recommend you travel to Saudi Arabia for a cultural experience, because you may get way more than what you bargained for. It's a spooky place, and they're an ally. And this is what kind of frightens me is they're in the thick of this whole Muslim belief, and it's spooky.
It is spooky, and it shows there is no changing them. And all these wonderful Christian groups that think that they're going to convert them to Christianity just by wonderful charity and kindness, this is so ingrained
they
in
are
them.
Delusional.
Well,
that's right.
Islam or Muhammad, you know, started his whole trek, I think they said, in 622 A.D., and that was a long time ago, folks, and nobody has been able to change it since then. So for us to think that as Christians we're going to go over and we're going to show them the ways of their errors, good luck, because you're going to get your head cut off.
That's so true.
That's just the way it is. You cannot convert them.
No.
This is what they believe.
Someone gave me a copy of the magazine that ISIS puts out. I had no idea that they actually had a magazine. It's all in color. It looks really nicely done. The cover of the one that came out in August showed a Muslim man up on a roof of a Christian church taking down the cross. And that was the title of that edition of the magazine, was Removing the Cross, and they are out to destroy Christian churches. And the fact that they have no respect for the sanctity of a church, they walked right in and killed that poor 86-year-old Catholic priest. In this magazine, it shows beheadings in a public square, just like you said, with graphic pictures. I was dumbfounded, and they, you know, very proud of it. And they tell about the huge number of Christians that are converting to Islam. Of course, you can't tell if it's true or not. They definitely believe that it's good to lie for Allah. They'll say anything they want to.
Well, that was written. That was another verse that was written into the Quran when I forget, one of his followers was captured by the Meccans, and he had to lie and say that he wasn't a Muslim anymore. He converted back to the Meccan religion, but then when he escaped, he went back and told Muhammad that he had sinned, that he had declared that he was not a believer anymore, and Muhammad had a magical vision and said it's okay to lie in order to deceive your enemies. That's okay. You have not committed a sin. So again, they just write these verses to make it okay for whatever the situation is. You're not going to win. It's just not going to happen.
Right. It's just amazing. Well, the other big thing I'm writing about in my book is the huge amount of propaganda that is now in our schools. In my book, By Stealth and Deception, I write about I had a 2-week substitute teaching position at a junior high, 7th grade, in Hillsburg, and that's when they were doing their Islam studies program, and I was absolutely appalled at what I was supposed to teach. This was in 2002. It is so much worse now because these very wealthy Muslim organizations have essentially bought out the textbook producers, publishers, so they have totally changed American history, world history. Everything is whitewashed about Muslims, about Islam, and Christianity is painted in such a bad light. And the poor little kids don't know anything different. Most of the teachers don't know anything different.
No. No. And for the people that say, well, we're moderate Muslims, or they aren't. They can't be. If they believe in the Quran, they're not moderate. And you can't believe in part of it and not believe in all of it. It's either true or it's not true. And for them to say, oh, we're much more liberal than the real Muslim, you're either Muslim or you're not Muslim. And if you are Muslim, you believe in the Quran, you can't mix your faith up with Jews and Christians. They're the enemy, and that's just it. There's no crossing that line.
That's right. But if a child comes out of our public schools having had this course in the 7th grade in world history, they will think that the Islam religion is the most wonderful religion on earth. That's how whitewashed these books are, and how they praise the Muslim family and what a wonderful united family it is, and how wonderfully they treat women.
That's a whole other story there.
I think anybody who's buying that is a complete idiot.
Back in 2002, I just could not teach this. Well, it's even worse now. But I told the kids, I said, you've got to realize that sometimes there's a bias by the people that are writing in textbooks, and this is definitely biased. And I'm going to tell you how they really treat women. And so I brought in the movie. Well, I wanted to bring it in. I could not find it, but Not Without My Daughter, starring Sally Field.
Oh, yeah.
A true story. And so I told them about that. And when it came to, I was supposed to have them dress in Muslim attire and create a Muslim prayer rug, take a Muslim name.
You were?
None of that.
That was part of the thing?
That was part of the thing.
Oh,
and I refused to do any of that. And when it came to, I had to teach them the five pillars of Islam because that was on the test. But when I did, I said, well, now let's look at what the pillars are of their cousins, the Jews and the Christians. So I gave them all a really nice copy of the Ten Commandments, and we compared notes. And the only thing that compared was, thou shalt have no other gods but Heavenly Father, and thou shalt have no other god but Allah. And then the rest of the four pillars, nothing about thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. It was just, you know, to give alms to the poor and make a trip to Mecca in your lifetime. And I just, thought that was a nice way for me to sneak in a copy of the Ten Commandments.
For the life of me, I don't know why any woman would convert to Islam. I mean, they are basically treated like animals. They're considered animals in the Quran. And the reason they cover up in their burqas, again, it was a convenience for Muhammad. He got tired of the warriors checking out his wives, because after he made these raids, he would always get the best-looking women of the other tribes as wives, and the other members of the tribes that would come into his tent would be looking at his wives. And so God spoke to him and said, from now on, all the women have to wear these burqas.
They all have to look like patio umbrellas.
That's right. And if they don't want to wear them, they have to stay behind a screen because they are not to be seen.
Exactly. So I obviously have a huge future there because I'm –
you follow all
Yeah, I'm going to do really well there. It's not going to be good. We need to take a really quick break here before the top of the hour. We're here with Orlene Curla chatting about the refugee resettlement issue. We'll be right back. Guess maybe we're not going anywhere. We might be going somewhere. Give me a nod, Bob. Should I hum a few bars?
We seem to have lost our sound. There it is.
My freedom, I'll keep my guns, try to keep my money and my religion too, try to keep on working, try to keep on smiling. I will keep my Christian name and y'all can keep the change.
Won't you look down upon me, Jesus? You gotta help me make a stand. Just got to see me through another day. My body's aching and my time is at hand. I won't make it any other way. Whoa, I've seen fire and I've seen rain.
We'd like to see some rain.
Seen sunny days.
Let's cut back on the fire, though. We've seen enough fire. Orlene, anything here in the last couple of minutes that we have skipped?
Yes, I would, people ask, well, why is this happening and what's really going on? Well, it is about the money, like I told you, these various VOLAGs, that's what they're called, voluntary agencies, but they're not voluntary because they're getting millions of dollars. So there is a lot of money behind it, but it's also about the globalist agenda. They want to destroy Western civilization. You can't usher in a one-world government when you have strong individual nations. So they want to break down the whole concept of nations, get rid of borders, have no strong feeling of patriotism left, and that will be the case when you're totally oversaturated with these people who have no strong feeling of patriotism for your country. And they want to destroy our U.S. Constitution. our individuality, our Second Amendment rights, and changes to a totalitarian government. And then these globalists don't really mind if they usher in Sharia law as long as it's not going to affect them. It might, however, but it seems like Sharia law and totalitarianism works really well together, and the Sharia, the Muslims, the Islam religion works really well with communism, with Nazism. And so that's essentially what I believe is truly the bottom line behind all of this. And it's hard to explain that to people when they don't even think communism exists anymore. They can't fathom that there is such a plan to usher in a one-world government. But those of us who see it coming more and more...
Sure, it's all right there.
...what this is all about.
Well, can you believe it? We've run out of time.
Wow.
I know. It goes fast. It's like falling out of a tree. Sorry.
Nice. Just to get that in there.
On your program, I really enjoyed doing this here.
Just one more shot. We hope you feel better really quickly. I know that having a messed up shoulder when you're trying to write a book is probably not convenient.
That's true. I'm having to use one hand.
No, not good.
It's hard.
So for Orlene's book information, booksfortruth.com, her name is Orlene Curla. Check out the information on the website about the conference this week. It's Saturday in Sacramento. Saturday and Sunday, I should say. WeThePeopleRadio.us has all your info. We'll see you guys next week.